All right. Let's start in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. Says there, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, come to you here tonight with maybe some light on something I'd wondered about before. Father, pray it'd be a help. We are trying to build towards the end of the month with Brother Keck coming in here. We're seeing some things happen. Father, just it's good to have some victories roll in here. And some prayers answered in regard to some things. I know that there's still a lot of pressure. A lot of folks are going through lots of stuff. I know that sometimes it seems like we live in a continual bog where nothing changes. Things just continue to just kind of plod along or perhaps even grow worse. Give us, Lord, some vision here tonight for these things that we're going to discuss. Pray you, Father, might help us to have light on these things that somebody that doesn't believe the book might not see. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to start with something here tonight. I'm not going to be able to finish this tonight. There's just too much material. I would anticipate probably in weeks to come. I'm not sure about next week or just exactly how it'll work, but we'll revisit some of this stuff and continue on a little bit. It says there in Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I'm concerned with that first half of that verse. First of all, you see there, you see a faithful man. Now, I don't know what your concept of faithfulness is. I had the advantage and blessing of going to a Bible school where we weren't hyped up about numbers and results as much as we were about being faithful. Faithfulness was held up very highly by the guy that taught me the Bible and taught me something about the ministry. And I appreciate that very much because the high numbers and high results have not worked out very well. So I can appreciate somebody, you know, telling me what they told me, and I believe it's true. I've watched for some years now as some of those old-timers have gone through some things, and I've seen the Lord reward some old-timers that did things the right way over a long period of time without necessarily a lot of results, a lot of money, and a lot of numbers. And so that's what I'm endeavoring to do. I think you probably know that. Faithfulness is not real flashy. A lot of times it doesn't look like much, but doing it for a lot of years is a lot. Faithfulness is not very cinematic. Nobody necessarily wants to go play the role in the on the Hollywood screen of just the faithful man because just there's just an awful lot of mundane, daily, same old thing, every single day type stuff. I have seen faithfulness rewarded. On the other hand, I know folks that have tried to be faithful and are that have certainly gotten it in the neck. They have suffered reproach and tribulation for trying to do right. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Seen that in faithful men as well. Now, let's not depart. Let's just set the faithful man aside for a second. To notice the next thing I want you to see, we'll tie these things together in a second. Notice that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Okay, notice the abounding with blessings. All right? Now, we've just gotten through, I think last week I preached on God's hand out in Esther and how there are things that I need in my life that Esther had, that Eliezer had, when he went to get the bride for Isaac, that Joseph had as a prisoner in Egypt, that Ruth had when she went back to the land with Naomi. And that is, there are certain things I know now that I cannot engineer. Right? It takes the blessing of God in some things before anything works at all. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Right? Eliezer winds up at a well. and prays a prayer before the prayer is out of his mouth, that girl is there saying the things that he said she would say, and in response, that exactly, you can't put that together in 1,000 years. I just preached about that last week, and so I'm talking about blessing in that way. I mean, I was telling the guys tonight, Maureen came to church this morning, and as you know, she got saved. She told us before church, she said, I've been driving by here for a while, and every time I drive by that sign, it calls to me. Now, that ought to be a great encouragement to Brother Lethert, and probably to you, for all the complaints you've gotten about our sign through the years. But that's something you can't control. God does that, or else He doesn't do anything. Right? I mean, somebody driving by whose attention is continually drawn to a sign, and they feel like God is speaking to them about coming to this church because of that sign, that's something I can't engineer. Right? Now that said, the verse here says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. All right? So I've talked about blessings that you need for God to step in, intercede in your life once in a while. You do right the right things the right way, and eventually you can't predict how God shows up and blesses in a way that you can't control. And everybody needs that. Everybody wants that. I want to say there's something else here, I believe, in all honesty, that I want to talk about. And basically the subject is guaranteed blessedness. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it says there a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So I'm given to believe that if you're faithful in certain things that the Bible is going to point out, a faithful man will abound with blessings. I'm going to show you some verses tonight to show you that whether you know it or not, if you're faithful, you not only will be blessed, but you are blessed. It is guaranteed blessedness. Now, maybe you don't recognize blessings when they come. Maybe the blessings are more subtle, more inward than you would like to see them. Maybe they are not as outward and as the way you expected them. Maybe you're not told to mount a horse and your worst enemy leads you through town saying, this is how the king delights to bless a guy that does right, like Mordecai did with Haman. Okay, maybe that doesn't happen to you. Maybe that's not how you get a husband or a wife like Ruth did. Maybe that's not how you get on a throne second only to Pharaoh like Joseph did. But at the same time, I'm led to believe there are some blessings in the Word of God that if you do certain things faithfully, you not only will be blessed, you are blessed. And it's up to you to be able to discern those blessings. I want to talk to you about guaranteed blessings. And the question will be in the end, are you a faithful man? The faithful man shall abound with blessings. Now go all the way over to Revelation. Revelation, I got thinking about these and started rummaging around and found that there's actually quite a lot. I'm sure that in the process of however long it takes to preach a few of these points out tonight and maybe another night, that there's no way I'm going to be exhaustive in this. You're going to probably find other things that I don't find. But I notice in Revelation chapter 1, notice verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now watch. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Says three things in verse 3. Blessed is he, not blessed shall he be. Blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words and then that keep those things. Now, I'm going to break off one of these things and talk about it a little bit. I'm not trying to leave out something else. We'll deal with that later. First of all, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy. I am led to believe from that verse and from the Word of God that there is a blessedness that descends on a faithful man who reads the Bible. and that it is not the idea that you will be blessed because you read the Bible, but that you are blessed. A faithful man in reading the Bible is blessed. It's guaranteed blessedness. All right? I read my book. I read Seek Ye Out of the Book of the Lord and Read. I read seven times in Matthew where Jesus Christ said, have you not read? Have you never read? Jesus Christ plainly expected the men of His day to have read the Bible. All right? I find in my Bible where the king in Deuteronomy 17 was called to read in the law every day of his life, every day that he was on the throne. Okay? You are called to read. The epistles, says Timothy and Titus, were meant to be read in the churches. And I read where Paul told Timothy to give attendance to reading exhortation and doctrine, but to reading. Reading. Okay? Revelation chapter 5, there's a occasion there where there's this book in heaven, and that there was nobody that was fit, nobody that was appropriate to read the words of that book until Jesus Christ came along. Now, I don't know what you've got. We talked this morning about reading in a book. I know this. You have a book, and most of us here in this room have an appreciation for this book the average Greek scholar has no clue about. I have a question for you. Are you faithful in reading it? The Bible says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I am led to believe from reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that if you read the Bible, you are blessed, not just that you will be blessed. Can I tell you how I think that's true? First of all, I think it's true because if a man reads the Bible, as a man reads the Bible, he elevates his mind. He is accessing the mind of Jesus Christ as he reads. If you read the Bible, you elevate your mind. If you read the Bible, you purify your heart. Now you're clean through the Word, which I've spoken unto you. Well, Christ doesn't speak words to us now. We read words that He spoke. You are purified by reading that book. A faithful man abounds in blessing if he reads the Bible. I believe he abounds in blessing as he reads the Bible. I believe you are guaranteed to be blessed and that you're guaranteed in being blessed as you read the Bible. It increases your faith as you read the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You grow in knowledge. You increase in understanding. You build yourself up when you read the Word of His grace. Now, you know what? Maybe because you read the Bible through a couple times last year, maybe God does in some mystical way, in some different way than I'm talking about, maybe He does bless you for having done that. I don't know. What I do know is what the Bible seems to testify of is that you are guaranteed to be blessed in reading the Word of God. A faithful man abounds in blessing. So, do you read the Bible? Read the Bible. You're guaranteed a blessing in reading the Bible. We always say, oh Lord, please bless us. Please bless us. We mean some mystical way where God intervenes in some way to send us money in the mail. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you reading the Bible and being edified and blessed for having read it. You know, you stop and think about it. It ought to be enough to know that the devil absolutely hates you reading that book. You know, you do realize that for the better part of a full 1,000 years in church history, it was called the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, that the devil wound up with his thumb on the better part of civilization, what we think of as Western civilization, and basically forbade the reading of the Bible, and somebody reading the Bible was an enemy of the state and could be killed for reading the Bible. The fact the devil wants you to quit so bad, the fact that the world cannot keep its slimy, dirty hands or tongue off the Bible should convince you, if nothing else, that you should read the Bible. Aren't you enough of a rebel to want to do something that the devil and the world does not want you doing. Look, it ought to be enough that your flesh whimpers and whines and moans and complains every time you start reading the Bible and you get so far. You go, oh, can we go now and do something? We were sitting yesterday at the meal after the funeral, and poor little Gabriel Oberlander, he was the only tyke there, and he was just fit to be tied. He wanted to go do something else so bad. Gabriel, I'm sorry, but that is your flesh. That's you reading the Bible, and you read about 3 pages in the flesh kicks you and says, I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. And it just goes on and on. It ought to convince you the devil, the world, and the flesh are all against you reading. That ought to convince you that you should read the Bible. I believe that reading the Bible guarantees you blessing. Now notice something else it says real quick in Revelation 1, then we're going back to Proverbs again. Notice Revelation 1, 2, who bear, no, I'm sorry, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Okay? They that hear the words. Now, go back to Proverbs chapter 8 real quick. Can I do a little springboard off that? Proverbs chapter 8. And go down to verse 32. You will notice in this passage that wisdom is speaking. Verse 1, doth not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice. She is still speaking. When you get down to verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. By the time you get down to verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, wisdom, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Notice, blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now it says over there in verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. That's a guaranteed blessing. If you have access, not only to the Word of God, to read it, but if you have access to the wisdom of God, to hear it, the Bible says that you are blessed. It's not just that you shall be blessed because you've attained this great wisdom which will help you make more money in the future, or help you get a better job, or help you do this, or help you do that. It says that in getting that wisdom is the treasure. I read of wisdom in Proverbs 3 that all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. The wisdom itself is the blessing. And that's what I want to say. In the hearing of the wisdom, that is guaranteed blessedness. If you access the wisdom of God by the Word of God and you hear it and you read it and you listen to it, you are promised that you will be blessed. Now, maybe you don't get a better job. Maybe your car doesn't quit breaking down. But that's not what I'm talking about. What are those blessings? Well, first of all, God's wisdom is a blessing in itself. Secondly, again, it increases your faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You are given in that wisdom godly counsel. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. It is gotten from the source. Listen, of Jesus Christ it says, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you access that wisdom, which is first from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, you are a blessed man. Now, my question for you is, that faithful man aboundeth in blessing. Are you a faithful man / woman in regularly going and hearing wisdom cry in the streets? By that, I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about counsel. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about teaching of the Bible. If you do, it's not just that you shall be blessed. I'm telling you that you are blessed. The wisdom is the treasure. All things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it, wisdom. the wisdom is the treasure. It's guaranteed. Are you faithful? Notice something else. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I'm talking about guaranteed blessedness here. Psalm 32. And while you're turning for Psalms, also go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. All right. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Let's just go over to Romans 4 real quick, because it cites that passage there. Romans 4, and notice verse 7. Romans 4, 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. I had a chance to lead a guy to Christ one time that was in a wheelchair. He was really all messed up. Apparently he'd had some sort of accident where his head was almost kind of, there was a cleavage in it. And it was like you took an axe and went whack, and the cleavage was still there. I think his name was Mark, if I remember that right. This has been several years ago now. And we preached the gospel to him at that place. And by the time it was all over with, he wound up getting saved. And, you know, I hate asking folks in a way, once they get saved, well, you know, you want to say, how's it feel? And that's sometimes a bad thing to say. But he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, I'm overwhelmed. Marcy said this morning that Maureen in there talked about feeling like a burden, a weight had been taken off. Okay? Look, folks, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. Right? That is a great thing. But that's not all. Notice verse 8. Notice an interesting thing. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, that's quite a statement there, is it not? I mean, he won't do it. I commit a sin, and the Lord refuses to impute the sin to my record. The reason why is my record is clear. My record is cleaned entirely. Christ has died for every one of my sins. The fact is, when I sin, that sin is imputed not to me, but to Christ. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not put it on me. When you get stopped going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, you say, oh, Mr. Police Officer, blink, 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 blink. If I get the ticket, my insurance is going to go sky, you know, right through the roof. He says, okay, I'll give you a warning this time, so it won't be in your record, but don't do it again. And you go, oh, thank you, officer. I appreciate it so much. And blink, blink, blink. And you feel lucky because he did not put you in a situation where that ticket would be imputed to your record. Okay? Well, let me tell you what I've got. I've got a blessedness that goes way beyond a speeding ticket. I commit sin as a sinner, and I have eternal security. And my eternal security is based on the fact that because I have Jesus Christ, because I am in Jesus Christ, God will not impute sin to me. All the sin that will ever be imputed has been taken care of in the past, and He will not impute sin. Now, you know what that is? That's a blessed state. You know what that's called in our vernacular today in the New Testament? It's called being in Christ. Look in Ephesians 1. Guaranteed blessedness, you get that in reading the Bible. You get that in hearing wisdom, and I'd like to say you get that in Jesus Christ. Right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are the possessor of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And God will not impute sin. Now, you know what that is? That's blessed. That has nothing to do with what God's going to do for you in the future. You are blessed in Christ right now. It's a great thing. Look at something else. Look in Numbers 24. I know I'm all over the Word of God here tonight. More is going to follow if I ever get a part two to this sermon, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But look in Numbers 24. Numbers 24. I'm telling you, sometimes we pray and we want the Lord to bless us. We don't see it come our way the way we thought it would, and we don't get the raise, we don't get the job, we don't get the new car, and just things didn't work out what we wanted. And because of it, you forget how blessed you are. Now, we're discussing how a faithful man abounds in blessing. And first of all, if you'll read the Bible, you are blessed. If you will hear wisdom faithfully, you not only will be blessed, you are blessed. Obviously, we're Christians. If you're in Christ, well, duh, you're blessed. Furthermore, look in Numbers 24 and go down to verse 9, if I can get to it. Numbers 24, 9. This is Balaam and Balak. And, of course, Balaam in the end winds up messing up, but refuses, at least at this point, to do what Balak wants him to do, which is to curse Israel. Verse 9, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, Israel. Cursed is he that curseth thee, Israel. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. And cursed is he that curseth thee. Right? This world is a place that's filled with a lot of hatred, a lot of venom, and a lot of malice. Right? And I can tell you this right now, if you don't know it, this world hates Israel. I mean, it's one of the most satanic things you will ever observe in your lifetime. How it is possible that in some of the most civilized places in the world, you heard Brother Murphy a couple weeks ago talking about Germany, one of the very most civilized, intellectual, educated societies in the world, some of the most technologically advanced civilizations in the world, and they hate Israel. They stand side by side as intellectual technicians and very well educated people. They stand right beside some of the most barbaric people on the face of this earth, and they have one thing in common. They hate Israel. They do not wear the same clothes. They do not, they think, serve the same God. But they uniformly, one with another, they hate Israel. Here's Christianity. We've been around Christianity, the Christianity part, 2,000 years. And we've been trying for 2,000 years to get folks on the same page, right? Here is the devil been working this thing for quite a while now. And uniformly from Indonesia to South America, from Mongolia all the way to California, this world in its four corners and everything in between in general hates Israel. It is one of the most satanic things you have ever seen in your life. I can only ask, how is it possible that Christianity, with the power of God, could not manage to get more than a small percentage of people on the same page to love God, love Jesus, and love Israel for as long as we've been working at it? And how then is it possible for one guy, Satan, to manage to get the entire world on the same train, on the same wagon, to uniformly and universally hate Israel and like to see their entire annihilation? How is that possible? It's a testament to two things. It's a testament to the very power of the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And secondly, it wouldn't be complete without a testimony of just how corrupt human nature is, that they have a susceptibility and an inclination to go with the devil anytime the devil speaks. This world hates Israel. Now, you know what I'm told here? I am told, blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. You are guaranteed that you are blessed if you bless Israel. Let me ask you a question. Are you faithful in blessing Israel? See, I try to be. I've come to the point where I'm not voting for a president that is not pro-Israel. I'm not going to vote for a president. I'm not telling you how to vote. This is completely my opinion. If the National Security Agency has us taped, I'm just telling you right now, this is all me, okay? I am not voting for a president that wants to give land away. I'm not. You say, well, Romney's the best choice. I've been voting for the best choice my whole life. And look where he got us. I'm not telling you how you should do things. I'm not saying I'm more spiritual than you. I'm telling you that conscientiously, I cannot vote for somebody who's going to vote against Israel, who's going to lead this country against that little nation. That little nation is my God's chosen people. That is my stepbrother. Okay? And one day I know this. I know that stepbrother's coming back to God. And in that day, I don't want to be guilty of voting for a guy that stood against him. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. Cursed is he that curseth thee. I'm telling you, there is a guaranteed blessing if you'll be faithful in blessing Israel. I really, truly believe that. I'm so far over. If Israel started a purge today of Palestinians, I would support it. You say, well, brother, I don't believe in murder and neither should a Christian. Well, it's not my responsibility. If Israel decided to do a purge in Palestine, I got nothing to say. Right? Yeah. Some of you are kind of looking at me funny. Whatever. Are you faithful in that? Are you a faithful man abounding in blessings? And do you abound in blessings because you faithfully bless Israel? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look at something else here real quick. Look in Psalm 34. Just two or three things else. A faithful man aboundeth in blessing if he'll read the Bible, if he will hear wisdom, if he is in Christ, in blessing Israel, he is a blessed man. It's not that he will be blessed. It's not that God's going to do something for him someday. It is that he is blessed. He is blessed in that thing. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, notice verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Not blessed shall be the man that trusteth in Him. Not the God will at one point or another bless a man that trusteth in Him. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I believe that is a guaranteed blessing. Okay? Now, I have a few verses for you here. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son lest He be angry. Ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And we say the verse all the time. I mean, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Okay, I tell you why you're blessed if you trust the Lord. Because He is directing your paths. Right? It's amazing. I got thinking about this. You know, we talk to lost people all the time. A lost guy comes to a point in his life and, you know, he decides to put his trust as a grown man in religion. I mean, as a cognitive, intellectual individual, he makes up his mind that instead of going the way of Christ, he's going to trust religion, what his priest says, what his church says, and what his religion says. It's funny because it is really, really hard to get people to reconsider that decision. Once they have placed their trust in religion, it's like pounding on an anvil to get something out of them. Now, me and you, we've been convinced that we should trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I have. And every year of my Christian life since I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have had a daily battle with trusting God. You know, the lost guy with a lost religion puts his trust somewhere and leaves it there and refuses to revisit it. I've placed my trust in God for my soul and I have trouble trusting Him with my money. It's crazy. I'm pointing out the disparity of it all. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, there is a guaranteed blessedness if you are faithful day by day, not just in being saved and eternally secure, but in being trusting day by day the God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed. If you have a chance to walk with God day by day, you are blessed. It's not that you shall be. It's not that you will be. It's not that you will be one day. It is that you are. There's something else. Look in Psalm 94. Psalm 94. A faithful man aboundeth in blessing. Psalm 94, notice verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. You are blessed in chastening. Now that's not the way we think of it, is it? I mean, we don't care for that too much. But blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. I have a verse in Proverbs that says that the reproofs, that's like a rebuke, the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If the worst thing that ever happens to you on a week-by-week basis is that Brother Stevens or Brother Grissom or Brother Darling or Brother Keck or Brother Peacock or whoever comes in here and just tans your hide in reproof, rebuke, and conviction, you should count yourself blessed. And the reason why is that is God chastening you. He has not touched your flesh. He has not touched your family. He has not touched your car. He has chastened you with words in front of everybody. Everybody else is getting the same treatment. And you have opportunity to receive your chastening from God in public with nothing more severe than words that may well hurt your feelings. That's not a bad deal. I want to say, blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Now, chastening goes a little further than that. You all know that. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. And we're going to be almost done. So hang in there. Just two more hours, that's it. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says that blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Now, why is he blessed? Well, verse 6, Hebrews 12, 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The blessedness is the fact that he loves you. Okay? And the danger in being chastened is what? Verse 5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If you're not careful, well, the danger is, rather, that you will despise it. You just get tired of being rebuked. And that's not all the Lord's chastening. I believe in some manners that I was chastened when I had a stroke. I believe some of you know pretty well, probably, that you've been chastened by some things that perhaps you've suffered in the last year or 2 years or whatever. Listen, you count yourself blessed. You are blessed. The Lord loves you, and the danger is that you will despise the chastening. The danger is that you'll say, I don't like it, and all I want is out of it. I want out from under the rod. And that's not a good thing. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Blessed is the man. Are you faithful in chastening? A faithful man shall abound in blessings. Maybe you just don't recognize the fact that when the Lord takes the stick to you, it's because He loves you and that He's making you better for it every day, that every time He whacks you with it, He makes you a better man for it. One last thing and I'm done, all right? Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, 1. We've got more miles to go next time around we do this, but we'll see. Psalm 112, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Not blessed shall be the man that feareth the Lord. Not the Lord will repay a man that feareth Him, but blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Notice Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Verse 1, blessed is every man, or every one rather, that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Okay. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. A guaranteed blessing is that in fearing God, you will be blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Now, for the last 50 years, scholars and so-called godly men have been trying to rob Christians of their fear of God. My question for you as a Bible believer is, do you fear God? I'm telling you, if you fear God, you are a blessed man. Okay? Not just that you shall be blessed, and I believe you will be, but that you are blessed because you fear God. Why? Because first of all, you fear the right thing. If you didn't fear God, you know what you'd fear? You'd fear man. Or you'd fear failure. Or you'd fear exposure. Or you'd fear this, that, or the other. If you fear God, first and foremost, you fear the right thing. Secondly, you know the blessedness of being fearful of God. And I mean being afraid of God. Doesn't exclude loving God. Doesn't exclude loving His Bible. Doesn't exclude the grace of God or the mercy of God. But you would do well to fear God. You would do well to know that God will only put up with so much before He sticks His hand in your life and wrings your neck. You'd do well to fear that. You would do well to know that God knows where you live. He has access to your children. He has access to your health. And He has access to your money. The reason why it's good to fear God is because in the end, it will keep you straight. If for no other reason, there ought to be higher reasons than this, you should do it for love. You should do it because you love purity and righteousness and honor. That's true. In the end, every one of us reaches a day in our lives where we would do something if the right opportunity arose. And in that day when nobody's looking, perhaps the only thing that will stop you from doing that thing which you will pay for, perhaps, for the rest of your life, is the fear of God. It will keep you right. Furthermore, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. The psalmist says, I am devoted to thy fear. Krishna followers are devoted to Krishna. Buddhists are devoted to Buddha. A Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, ought to be devoted
to the fear of God. They ought to be. And out of it comes what? Guaranteed blessedness. If you fear God, you are blessed. It's not just what you get out of it eventually. If you fear God, the Bible says you are blessed. A faithful man aboundeth in blessing. Let's pray. Lord, now we are Thy servants, we are Thy people, and we struggle with things we see, things we know. We struggle with our perspective down here. It seems like sometimes it's the hardest thing to get a vantage point to see things as You see them. Father, we pray that You might help us here by these promises that we've gone over tonight and others. We are assured of being blessed, guaranteed of being blessed under certain conditions. It's not just that You will one day bless us if we do it long enough. It is the idea that in doing so, we are blessed right now. Father, give us a vision for these things. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back any day. And Lord, we would do well to take heed to these things and to abide under the blessed hand of our God and Savior. Pray You'd help us here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a second. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. If He did, it might be worthwhile for you to come. If you feel like the Lord wants you to come today, why don't you come? I'll give you just a few minutes to keep your heads down and think a little about it. Look this way with number 334 in hand. You probably know it by heart by now. 334. Let's stand. we're going to let you out of here. We'll pray in a sec. If you're an Institute student and don't know your total for what you owe Institute, you can see me real quick. I can let you know what that is. Otherwise, books on the back. If you want to buy one, do. If you don't worry about it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us today. We are glad for what I got to see happen in Maureen's life here today. Pray that you'd bless her, Father. Again, we'll pray for her like we prayed for Chris, that you'd keep the wolves off for a while, give her a chance to get her feet under her. Lord, she needs to be in church. She needs to get discipled. She needs to submit herself to a friend that can lead her in the Word of God somewhere. So we pray you'd help her in that. Grateful for your goodness to us. Pray that you'd bless our week. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen.